ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Examine yourselves whether you'll be in the faith, because, beloved, when it's over, it's over. The die cast once for all. And you're either in or you're out. You're either lost or you're saved. We need to recognize there's only two types of people in the world. And we need to make sure that we're one of the ones that's going to get in with Jesus. The Bible says in verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. The crown of the white rider in chapter 6 was a Stephanos. The Bible says in chapter 6 that there was given unto him a crown. It's a Stephanos, the wreath that you won in the games and Olympics of the day of the Romans and the days of the Bible. These are not Stephanos crowns. These are diadems. That means they are Jesus Christ's crowns by heritage, by destiny. He didn't earn them. He owns them. That's who he is. He is the king. And it's not one crown, it's many crowns, because he is king of all kings. And the Bible says his eyes were as a flame of fire. And that means that he comes with a purifying gaze. He will look at you and immediately he will know everything about you. And you'll know he knows. You will be, as it were, feeling completely naked in the eyes of him with whom you have to do. The Bible tells us that we must all give an account of ourselves to God. You're going to just tell on yourself in a profuse manner. Beloved, may I appeal to you, keep the account current. Keep the account up to date so you don't have to say much about the bad. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just at that moment to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How cool would it be to go to bed at night having prayed up, having got your accounts current, having been totally honest and transparent with Almighty God, and laid there at night, and he comes at night, and you wake up, and he's there, and it's like, Lord! And you have nothing to tell on yourself, because you already told him. That's the disposition the Bible wants us to be in. Be ye ready always, for you know not what hour your Lord may come. The Bible says, watch ye therefore. We need to be on guard, on watch, realizing that the trumpet shall sound at a given time when you think it won't sound, and he will come and receive his own. The Bible says that he will have eyes of fire, he will have on his head many crowns, and he has a name written which no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. If you will, listen to these words out of Isaiah 63. The Bible says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, he answers the question. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I tread them in mine anger. I trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For a day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. My fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth. Beloved, what I'm saying and what I believe Isaiah is telling us very clearly, his robes are dyed in red because he tread out the winepress, and in fury he took on our sins. When Jesus hung on the cross, he went there as a lamb, a sheep before his slaughter, never opening his mouth. He spoke not a word in his defense. Beloved, he went there because he hated what sin had done to you. He hated what sin has done to the world. And in his fury, he persevered. He hung on the cross and he shed his blood. And he conquered sin. And in the final moments on that cross, he said, it is paid in full. And those same dipped garments are going to be splattered when he hits that valley of Armageddon. And the Bible says, back in chapter 19 and verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. Now, this is not being called, this is called. It is, and it ever shall be. It is something that is happening now, it'll happen then, it happened before. John said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Bible says nothing was made that was made without Him. And it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Christmas narrative. But the Bible says He's still being called the Word. As He breaks the sky, His name shall be called the Word of God. Everyone knows who He is. The world knows now who He is. They looked at the Scriptures. The plagues have been coming. Questions have been asked among neighbors. The Bible makes it clear those people are going to know who He is. Remember, running to the rocks and the hills and saying, "Fall on us, for the day of the wrath of the Lamb has come." They know who He is. And they will recognize Him as the embodiment of all that is God. The Bible says, "In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 14. "The armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean." We know right away we're in there because He just told us the bride was going to be clothed in linen, white and clean. But it says armies because there are other armies. Jude talks about the Lord coming with 10,000s of His saints. We look in the Scriptures and we find other places where the Bible talks about, in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord coming and He comes with His angels. And the Bible talks about spirit of just men made perfect. Different armies, different segments, different dispensational groups that God will bring with Him all at the same time. Why? Because He's the King. He's coming on a white horse, not on a lowly donkey. He told them the first time, "Behold, Zion, your King comes sitting on a donkey." You know, and He did that. He presented Himself. They rejected Him. But the Roman picture of a procession was one upon a white horse, a horse of strength, one bringing all of his armies through the streets and the corridors with him. We're all coming down, the marriage of the Lamb, we're all coming down. Heaven and earth will be reunited in a marriage. It's going to be for 1,000 years. And He brings the armies with Him. They're not coming to fight. They're coming to observe. Because He will tread out the winepress alone. The Bible says in verse 15, "And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it He should smite the nations, because all the nations have gathered against Him." This is the realization of Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the nations imagine a vain thing? He says, "Kiss the Son now, lest He be angry with you." You know, it's time to worship Him now. Did you know the word worship means to kiss toward? It's pros kuneo. We get the word canine from kuneo. It means puppy dog. Pros toward. Puppy dog toward God now. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. Well, I don't want to kiss anybody. I know, pride is a pretty bad thing, isn't it? I don't want a puppy dog about God. Somebody, I want Him to think, "Hi, me! What will people think of me?" Forget it. Put that thought off. Say, it's all about Him. Jesus is the one we puppy dog toward. He's the one who lights our world. His testimony is the spirit of prophecy. He's the one who keeps us lit up, helps us stay up in dark and difficult days. Verse 15 says, "He will smite the nations with this sword that comes out of His mouth, and with a rod of iron He will rule, and He will tread out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." Comes for three things. He comes to smite, as it were. He comes to rule, and He comes to tread out the winepress. Understand, He has an agenda. God has everything in order. He knows what He has to do, and He's going to do it. Do you ever just get angry at sin? Do you ever just get angry at your TV? Do you ever just get angry at your world around you? Do you ever get angry at your government? Do you ever get angry at the goofiness of man? I tell you one thing, I've just pondering these thoughts of late, I've just been thinking, you know, man doesn't really have it going on. Oh, he's all proud of himself, but frankly, folks, none of us could make a plane. Only a few people had that smart, you know. And if you turn off the lights, guess what? We're in the dark. That's about all. I actually asked some electricians once at a building site I was working on years ago, and I said, "Guys, let me ask you guys a question. I'm over here with the electrician union. If you were put on a desert island, could you get some lights running?" Said, "No way, man. I couldn't do it. I don't know. I don't know how." Folks, you and I are living off the bounty of a few geniuses, but the fact is we remember just a few short years ago when the grid went down, and we were in the dark for days. And folks, when this tribulation unfolds, guess what? A lot of stuff is going to be cut off. All the water is going to be made bitter. We know that. But think about the electric. Think about the power grids. Think about the sewer systems. Think about the death in the streets and all the decay of the bodies. They aren't going to be able to keep up with all that. And for 7 years, things are going to unfold. Devastating things. And what you and I see is that when Jesus comes, this world is a shambles. One of the last things He'll do is He'll burn the cities to get rid of them because they're just a mess and they're a cesspool of wickedness. But what the Bible says of this passage in verse 14, the angels were in heaven, followed him. Verse 15, he's going to come and he's going to tread out the winepress. And that is the Battle of Armageddon. A huge valley, which will also have not only the valley itself full of the nation's armies, but it will also expand. We saw from Isaiah, you'd have to be here for our Isaiah study to see that this winepress really is going to extend about 200 miles long, all with the centerpiece being Armageddon itself. The Bible says in verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not a king. He is the king. He is not a lord. He is the Lord. And you know what's really cool? Is he's King of Kings, which means when he wipes out all those kings, he's going to fix up some more. Guess who that is? That's us. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. Folks, he says, you that have been faithful over a little, I'll put you in authority over much. God says, he that suffers with me, he shall reign with me. Folks, we are going to be there. Job saw it way back in the Old Testament. Earliest written book of the Bible, Job, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him in the latter day. And though the worms eat my flesh, I shall see him with my own eyes and not those of another. He knew. You and I were so inundated with so many cool things. Man, we get in our car and got this little cool button there. You turn that little switch, it's 90 outside, boy, it's 65 coming in my vent. Man, that's cool. Oh, cold, frozen times. Man, I used to, as a kid, go out and drive and get lost just for the fun of it. I love my car. Yeah, I don't even think we're going to have cars in the millennium. I don't think we're going to need them. I was looking up the horse population in the world. There's a ton of horses in this world. 58 million horses. And God's going to come on a horse. And I think we're going to be able to ride the tigers and the lions, and we're going to be able to maybe even fly with the birds. I don't know, but I'll tell you something. We're going to be just like him. And when Jesus was here, what's that tell us? In his resurrection, he appeared in the room and the door was locked and shut. And nobody knew how he got in. Woo-hoo. You know what? We forget. We are called unto bliss, folks. Bliss. We're going to be walking around saying, wow, about everything. But we will have a composure about us that will just be saying, whew. And we'll just be sitting there idling. Whoa. Because it's God's way. We'll have full capacity of our minds and our brains. The atmosphere will be absolutely perfect. We won't need air conditioning. Do you know when they found the mammoths? Once a year they can go up there and they can harvest the ivory. And when they dig up these mammoths, which are hairy, elephant-type beasts, prehistoric, they call it, prehistoric. But the fact is they're in some of the coldest parts of the world. And you know what they find? They were frozen so fast that the vegetation is still in their mouth. There was a day when this whole earth was habitable for all of us. And it was comfortable for all of us. And those men didn't know what hit them. They're frozen standing up. Folks, we have a heritage. The truth is out there. On top of Mount Everest, they found seashells, which were clams that weren't even open. They were overwhelmed with the flood. They were carried over the top of Mount Everest. How did those seashells get up there? Because of the flood. The truth is the truth is the truth. And the Bible tells us, he who will come shall come. And he's left fingerprints all over the place so that you will have the grist for the mill of your faith. If you will but ask the questions and be willing for the answers. He's coming again. And the Bible says we're coming with him. Now in verse 17, we move from the coming of the Lord and we see the calling of the birds. It says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. Now that's probably because the sun's darkened. And what he's doing is he's standing before the sun. Right in front of it, between earth and the sun. And he cries out and calls all these birds, verse 17. He cried with a loud voice, saying unto the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is not the marriage supper. This is the supper of the great God. And he explains what that is. He says, that ye may eat, verse 18, the flesh of kings and of captains and of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Just because we got this class envy of our day, God doesn't distinguish. God's not a respecter of men. God says, you're all sinful. You need a Savior. I'm for you. If you'll just come to me, I'll forgive you and I'll fix everything. I'll take care of them. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.